swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
Las Vegas on a Thursday, back to the familiar confines of Cabana 7. Last week we were at Victory Burger. God, I gotta send out that picture. Is that Shannon? I think Shannon down at Victory Burger hooked us up with a great hamburger. Their Victory Burger. And Mateo had it. It was a little weird, wasn't it? Mateo's like getting ready to use burger. I'm like, dude, get out of the way. Like getting all up close. A little strange. I'm a little too much into the food pictures. Nye is here. What's up, Nye?
Hey, what's up?
Do I need to calm down on the food pictures?
No, I love the food pictures, but I got to know about this Victory Burger. What does it contain?
What was it? Yeah, it's bacon. Bacon and cheese and burger. It doesn't get too crazy. They have the crazier burgers. I don't know about you with burgers, but I think we've gotten so toppings heavy that I want to taste a burger. And sometimes I'm like, this is too much. It's too much. So Victory Burger kind of slims it down. It's a good burger. So you can check that out. That's on the overhang bar over Circuit Sports. Next week, really cool week to be out here. They're going to have their ultimate weekend. It's all for Circa Survivor and Circa Million, which I guess I should tease stuff. I'm not a big pomp and circumstance person on radio, and I need to do a better job of it. I saw someone on, it was one of the betting channels. I'm actually going on there later on tonight. Competition, of course, but we still pimp them. One of the shows on BetQL had this big announcement, and you could tell it was Nick Costas, who's a new to gambling guy, good radio guy. And he was like, announcement coming on the show. It's going to change your life. And I'm like, I think I need to do that.
The tease.
Right? So our announcement is, and we'll make a big deal of this next hour as well, as we talk to one of the Circa Sports folks. We are going in the Circa Million. That is as a show. That is a $1,000 entry. It's five picks against the spread every single week. There's different prizes throughout the season. And then there's a year-ending prize. So that, I know combined Survivor and Million have $16 million in prizes guaranteed, whether it's an overlay or not. An overlay for the audience is basically if they don't get enough entrance into their contest, and I don't know what the break-even number is, but if they don't get enough entrance into the contest, Circa's like, man, we're still doing the contest. You know, the prize pool is $6 million and $10 million, whether we fill it up or not. And actually, in the past, they've had contests where they didn't fill it up, and they're throwing money out of their pocket that's not even backed up by all the entrants. So they get it here. They're very generous. Obviously, they want to get everyone in here and, you know, tied to the brand, but they run great contests. So, yeah, we'll have to, throughout the season, we're going to have to come up with five picks on the show and see how we do. It's not easy. Picking five games in the NFL every week. Whew.
Ooh, a challenge, but run me my money. Let's go.
Right? Okay.
We're up for it.
All right. So Nye's in. Nye's officially in. About 99% in. We got to finish out the details. But, yeah, we're going to be in Circa Million, so that's really cool. Cofield & Company with an entry. I want to do a giveaway right now. We got Megadeth in town with Mudvayne tomorrow night, Planet Hollywood Live. Ticketmaster.com is where you get the tickets. Griffin's going to hook you up right now with Megadeth and Mudvayne. Two tickets, Color 7. 364-1100, 364-1100. So I'm a broken record now around Vegas because I say all the time, now I'm like, big weekend coming up. Because really, every weekend in Vegas is a big weekend. I feel like we have like two slow weekends out of 52. When I first got here in the mid-90s, it was like, okay, well, there's like long dead periods, not really a big weekend. It's every freaking weekend. And that includes the Raiders, who are going to be playing the Cowboys, which... You're familiar with the Cowboys. Their fans are annoying, but they're going to turn out. They have a good chance of taking over the building, even for a preseason game.
They definitely do have a good chance, but I will say, nothing and no one is like Raider Nation, okay? We're about to come out. Everyone's about to pop out. Everybody, wear your silver and black. We are not playing. We are taking over Allegiant Stadium. We're not allowing any other team to come in there and spread their blue everywhere. It's not happening.
So let's talk about last night. They had a free scrimmage for fans. They did it in the big building, in their home, at the Al, at Allegiant Stadium. And I was reading reports from earlier in the week. Our good friend Paloma over at Fox 5 tweeted out, Raiders are expecting over 55,000 fans at Allegiant tomorrow night for their open practice. Capacity is 65,000. So I saw some pictures and I was like, that's a lot lighter than 55,000.
That's so much.
Well,
everything's always exaggerated when it comes to numbers, though.
Well, I think there's something bigger at hand here. And this is something we've talked about with Las Vegas and not the Raiders, but football games that are not the Raiders and not UNLV. Sometimes concerts, soccer, other sporting events. You try to buy tickets, and a lot of the tickets are gone from the primary seller, which is AXS.com and Allegiant. And then you go to the secondary market, you're like, wow, this is a hot ticket. I can't get in the building for like less than, you know, $135 all the way upstairs. Downstairs is like $275. So it was light last night. The RJ reported about 20,000. Now, Paloma said 55,000. Which I did, when I saw that, I was like, on a weeknight? I don't know. So this is not slamming Paloma. Here's what I think happened, and people have told me this is what they think happened. They had 45,000 plus tickets out, because these were free tickets. So what do you think happened? Did 25,000 people not show up?
That is exactly what happened. That is, they probably pushed out all of these tickets. I remember when this happened, I had posted on Twitter the before and after of how my experience was going, because I'm like, all right, I want my whole family to go and experience this. They ended up getting tickets. They're taken care of. But when I was signing up, it was a queue. I waited in the queue for about 3.5 hours, which was fine because I had my phone on and I have the...
You had to wait to get these tickets?
I had to wait in the queue. Once the 3.5 to 4 hours was up, it then said that all the tickets were gone. So I had screenshotted the before and after of that. And I even talked to a Raider fan on Twitter. And he's like, I'm going to save my ticket for children that actually want to go. And I told him, I would be surprised if everybody actually shows up. And that's exactly what happened. All of these tickets came up. People probably realized that it's the first week of school. It's a Wednesday. People have work. So a lot of people probably didn't show up. I promise you there was probably so many tickets out there just floating around because it was a free event. And the minute that you put free with human beings, we all take advantage of it, including myself. I like free stuff.
So what was the vibe like?
I didn't end up going.
Oh, you didn't go?
No.
So you're okay.
I was the Twitter FOMO person.
I think you're very much in the minority on I didn't go, something came up. I think what happened to a lot of the tickets is, and this is the sinister thing that's happening with a lot of the Vegas events, ticket brokers or people who intend to sell the tickets are scooping up every available ticket and then they put them up on.
But even for a free event, you think people are...
Yep.
Are not
last
looking
night,
up the knowledge behind the fact that it was free?
Last night, well, if you got shut out of the free, and then you're like, I want
to
go. So last night,
pay.
The Hub, Geek, whatever other, resellers, there were tickets all over the place for sale. So what happened
crazy.
Is they hoarded all the tickets. Some, like you, were like too busy, right? Something came up. But I think most were scooped up because people thought they were going to be able to sell the tickets for a good price. No one bought them. And then you get 20,000. And this is happening at events with paid tickets. Somehow tickets are getting to the secondary ticket market, and then the value of the ticket is put up at a false number. Some people buy in. Like I've told the story many times. A couple of years ago for the Pro Bowl, I needed a last-second ticket, and I'm like, I really got to pay $135 for the Pro Bowl. It was the last Pro Bowl where they tried to play a game, and then it was terrible. But I paid $135 to get in, and then I get in. There's no one in the upper deck. There's maybe it was probably 30,000. I'm like, son of a, like I got duped. So now I know in my household, the SO's households, significant other, we always say like, you know what? If we need a ticket at the end, we're going to go down there and see what's available.
Yeah.
But definitely try to have someone in the building who's like, no. There's only 30,000 people here. Don't pay like $240 for some concert ticket. So I think that's what happened last night. So.
And immediately when you go to Allegiant Stadium, people are everywhere on every single end and corner of that building trying to sell tickets. I'm curious to know how
they
much.
They were free!
I know, but I'm curious to know how much they were even trying to sell them for, I know. If that were the case.
I know, and I wonder how many people got duped.
And I
for
really
like
hope people did not
plus.
Get duped.
6918, check that. That's the old text line from like 3 years ago. I have numbers from a radio show like 22 years ago. 364-1100 is the text number. That's our Findlay Kia text line, 702-364-1100. I'm curious, people out there, did you pay to go to the game? And then when you walked in, you're like, my God, there's 20, 23,000 people here at the stadium. Throughout the show, we'll have UNLV football season home opener tickets against Utah Tech. That's coming up in just a couple minutes and about 30 minutes away from our buddy Xavier Pope checking in on some crazy stories, including the one about a woman going to jail sentenced for 9 years for stealing chicken wings.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Just rolling out here on a Thursday. Stadium Swim is the site. 143-foot screen to watch all of the sports action on. You got the betting odds up on that board as well. Nice day today. A little bit cooler than it's been in the last 6 weeks. Nye is here. Nye Zaragoza. It's Cofield Mateo with the setup and back in our Findlay Toyota studios. It's our buddy Griffin. As I told you earlier, giveaways today include UNLV tickets for the home opener. Let's do a pair right now. Game against Utah Tech. Saturday, the 7th of September, noon start, Allegiant Stadium, UNLVtickets.com. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7. Look into getting season tickets. It's one of the best values you got in this city. Season tickets start as low as $150 for six games. Club season tickets start at just $375. You get the same seat for all the home games. Only lower bowl seating is available. So if you've been to Allegiant Stadium and you're like, hey, Raiders, it's tough to sit downstairs and afford it, UNLV football provides that opportunity. So check it out, UNLVtickets.com. Get your season tickets right now. Though a pair going out. Griffin's got them. 364-1100, 364-1100. I'm not exactly sure how much to take from an open practice, a scrimmage like that last night, but I do think we needed to. I'm gonna erase. I think the Raiders needed to see some good moments, Nye, from Aiden O'Connell. So whether it's a scrimmage or not, whether you think it means something or not, it means something because the Raiders are high on Aiden O'Connell. He needed to start turning the corner and show something.
Yeah, and it means something for Raider Nation as well because they are expecting, as well as I am expecting, to have a productive season, to see AOC continue to work with the ones and then Gardner Minshew working with the twos. I hope it gives people some type of hope. That is a position that we're all kind of in a puzzle about because we don't know what to expect this upcoming year, but I will say other players showed out. I've heard and seen that Davante Adams absolutely killed it. He is already familiar with what's going on. He is familiar just with the entire game plan, right? Like, this is nothing new to him. He is just true to this, period. So that was excited for them. And just to see the other receivers, to see the line, just to just see everybody in action, that was exciting for Raider Nation because we weren't allowed to go to Costa Mesa. So this was an opportunity to finally see this 2024 team come together.
You know, it's interesting. We're going to hit a couple times today the situation with the Vikings. We're expecting Harry Lyles Jr. in the middle of the show from ESPN. And we want to hit him up on that ESPN story that was out about 3 weeks ago that said the Raiders situation is the most hopeless of any team in the NFL. They're number 32 in terms of hope over the next 3 years. I don't agree with that. And I'll give you one of the teams right now, the fan bases that has to be feeling really bad and definitely want to build it around this, and that is the Vikings and the injury yesterday. You know, you draft a top 15 quarterback, and now he's out for the year. You picked him for a reason because you're ready to hand over the quarterback position to a new guy, and now he's not available for a year. So basically, where the Raiders are right now, Nye, is where several other teams around the NFL are, where they're like, we don't exactly know what's going to happen in the future at quarterback. Vikings, that's terrible.
That is tough. Like, that is so something, that's something that you are not going to just easily take on the chest. Your potentially franchise quarterback is already hurt, and you haven't even played in one game. It's not like this is a mid-season injury. I'm not, I mean, I haven't had too many injuries in my life. I don't know if that's something that you can heal from quickly, but who are you going to rely on now?
Well, they're going to the well once again. You know, there are players in every sport who never realize their potential. And then there's the scant few that when they're like 28, 29, 30. I mean, Kurt Warner is one of the best stories in the history of the NFL. The guy's bagging groceries and playing in the Arena League and really didn't have his breakthrough until he's like 28 or 29. Sam Darnold's not that story. He was a ballyhooed guy coming out of USC. He was the number two pick of the Jets. Now 6 years ago, check that, number three pick in the draft, but the first round pick of the Jets. He's going to be the guy. So this will probably be his final shot. And he's got, in his case, and this is kind of, if you think about it, it's kind of the case with Minshew, who wasn't, he was a high profile guy in college, but he wasn't respected enough to be a high pick in the draft. But let's just use the example of Minshew might be the Raiders guy. And Darnold might be,
I'm taking Minshew over
the Vikings guy. I do favor Minshew, but where I'm going to draw the parallels, when Sam Darnold looks out there, he's got a new running back behind him in Aaron Jones over from the Packers. He looks out, he's got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and Hockenson at tight end. Like, he's got weapons. When Minshew looks out there, he's got Devontae Adams, he's got Jacoby Myers, he's got Brock Bowers, who may be the next, you name the great tight end. He's also got Michael Mayer, who could turn into, you know, this could be the Raider or Patriot situation with Hernandez and Gronk. So both guys are in the same position. Like, I haven't broken through. I haven't got to the point where I'm a $30 million quarterback. But my God, I have no excuses. Look at this. Look at all the weapons I have to work with.
Sam Darnold is going to have a challenge up against him because you have the best receiver in the league, who was hurt for a portion of the season last year and couldn't have, he still had an amazing 1,000-yard plus season. And I'm sure this season he's going to want to go crazy, right? He's going to want to intensely ball out. And I really like him. But it sucks to even be in that position because as you want to continue to grow, you guys could have potentially had a good quarterback. We don't know how JJ would have turned out in the NFL, but with high hopes, right? But now Sam Darnold is going to have work up against him. He's going to have to be patient, one, and really, really have a good relationship with his receivers on and off that field. Because if not, it's just not going to work. I really don't know if I do believe in Sam Darnold, but in that situation, I'm taking Minshew. Wait, the way that Minshew performed with the Colts, if Minshew were to be with the Vikings and have that type of production in the receiver room, it would be a whole different story.
Minshew was very solid with the Colts in a pinch, just like, you know, these, you know, the, well, just like Darnold's in this year where your quarterback goes down. Anthony Richardson went down pretty early last year, so Minshew's shown out in the past. We love talking Raiders on this show. The spot to catch Raider talk is on Raider Nation Radio 920. Q Myers is on right now from 2 to 5. You got JT the Brick, JTTB in the middle of the day, and then you got a morning show that has a new character on the show, and that is Vince Sapienza. So we're all happy at Lotus Broadcasting to mention. Welcome, Vince, from
Welcome,
Fox
Vince.
5 to the mix. So he's going to be on the morning tailgate. He'll be the third host on the show, and that show goes 7 to 10 every morning. So pretty good stuff to get fired up about as we add more and more great personalities like Nye, like Vince, to the Lotus Broadcasting family. On the way back, time for Cofield's Quibble and Query. We'll scan what we've seen this week from you guys, the listeners, both on Twitter and on our text line. If you got anything to comment on the text line, remember, it's the Finley Kia text line, 702-364-1100. Text it in.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Rolling towards a good conversation coming up. Very excited. A lot of topics to hit with Xavier Pope out of Chicago. Nice here. It's Cofield, Mateo, Cabana 7. Damn, I ran out of time to do social media during the break. It's so funny what we do now. And I'm not saying this is a hard job, but we're trying to push out more and more social media. So, Nye, I appreciate you posting up on Instagram. I was just trying to share that story. Some feedback in this portion of the show. We usually ask a question. I usually have a question. Cofield's Quibble or Query. I was paying honor to the legends of sports broadcasting. That was always the thing with Papa Joe. We're going to talk Noah Lyles a little later on the 5 o'clock hour. Rhino, one of our P1s, listened to both Greg Salerno and Justin Watkins. Justin early in the week, Greg yesterday. Man, we're getting personal. He said, at Greg Salerno, and this is the whole thing on Noah Lyles and what world championships mean, and the NBA should stop saying it's a world championship. What he wins are world championships. Greg, Rhino said, Greg Salerno says Noah Lyles' world championship logic is nonsensical. Justin Watkins is a huge logic practitioner, says Noah Lyles is literally correct. Who should I agree with? Fat homeless guy or successful logic king? Like, what is weight really the determining factor who we go with here? Come on now, Derek. Take it easy. Look, Nye's like, what is going on?
What is this?
And Greg's very sensitive. You don't have to, you know, we're allowed to take shots at the heftiness.
Yeah.
I usually tie myself in with Greg. Let's take it easy on Greg.
Yeah. Rhino, take it easy on Greg, okay? He is with us.
Yeah.
Do not bring up matters that don't even matter in this specific topic. We are talking about Noah Lyles and his comments.
Yes.
We're not talking about Greg.
We got to have Greg's back. And even though Greg is being positioned as the ugly American on the show, the ignorant, ugly American. Well, because we were arguing yesterday. He's like, we're going to kill everyone in flag football. I'm like, I don't know what the rest of the world's going to look like in 4 years. Maybe. And I also don't know if we're going to send a good team. The NFL might say, no one's allowed to play flag football. You're going to hurt yourself. I don't know what kind of team we're going to send. I think we're going to win. But we didn't win 3-on-3 in men's and women's basketball, did we?
That'll be interesting to see in 4 years as well, because the Olympics is so close to the season beginning to start. It was literally in the middle of training camp. So I wonder, I mean, didn't Caleb Williams say that he wanted to play in the Olympics one day?
He did. But what do you think is going to happen in 4 years when he's on the verge of, like, he already got a good deal. When he's on the verge of, you know, Herbert, Dak, Mahomes deal, and the Bears are like, yeah, $64 million a year. Hey, guys, can I go and play flag football in the Olympics? No. Not going to be allowed. 702-364-1100 is our text number. Tag it with ESPN. That'll come to us. Otherwise, it goes to some of the other stations. Wally, this week, on Akon and Minshew. He's calling him AOC. He said, if AOC is a starter, we might as well have kept the Josh McDaniel regime. Find another team that intentionally paid $25 million for a backup. I mean, that is confusing me. They shelled out pretty good money, $15 million guaranteed for Minshew, and he's having to fight for his job.
$15 million guaranteed, 25-2-year contract, correct? You would think that to shell out that type of money, which I guess can be considered one of the higher-paid backup quarterback amounts, that he would be the starter. Where I don't agree with this question is that he said it's the McDaniels regimen. It's not. It's AP. We can't blame AOC for anything that took place last year. His flaws, the pros, the cons, or whatever that happened, because now he's under a completely different regimen. AP is not following anything that had taken place last year. It's all new and fresh for these guys. So for me, I'm going to give these guys a fresh start and a fresh opportunity before I give my opinions with anything.
702-364-1100, Cofield's Quibble Query, text line, feedback. Someone named Campbell talking about Ray Gun, breakdancing, was saying her signature move, I guess it was being described one way, said, you mean her signature move, the kangaroo? Was that thing where she put her arms up? Was kind of, do we know what that's called?
That I like the kangaroo. That fits for that. Do you see her blowing up all over Twitter? Like, people are... It was something where someone had the back windshield of their car. They made a huge ray gun.
Stop.
Like, it was a huge... Not a poster board, but it was able to move. It was 3D. And it was like a windshield wiper. That's exactly what it was. It was a ray gun windshield wiper. Insane.
That's crazy. But... social media, it's so much different than it was 30 years ago. You get an athlete who has a blip in a newspaper, right? That would have never gone. There was no viral 30 years ago. And now they can live on forever and be in memes and get. And hey, if she makes money for like 3 months, whatever, 6 months, she's back in. Well,
she's going to take advantage.
Not
going to
be back in the
moment.
Olympics. Maybe they're going to do world championships for breakdancing, but it ain't going to happen in the Olympics again because it's going bye bye. And then, well, this one's old. I would like you to send the $2 to the station, not to be mean, but. Troy sent in $2 bet to that Bo Nix fan that J.J. McCarthy will have a better rookie season.
Dun, 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 dun.
I mean, who could have anticipated J.J. going down for the season with a torn meniscus? Totally sucks. Giveaway time, 364-1100. That's our coverall number. You want to text in, you use it. Prizes as well. Two tickets to I Prevail, Hailstorm. By the way, we had a winner yesterday. A Mr. Butts sent in the name of, I can't remember her last name now. It's not Lizzie Hill. Lizzie something. I only have to know at the moment I throw out the question, but someone needed to name on the text line the lead singer of Hailstorm. But I Prevail, Hailstorm, Hollywood Undead, Fit for a King, Big Show, Planet Hollywood, Ticketmaster.com. It's going down on Saturday. And the hookup is courtesy of Griffin and Craig Williams in the back. He's the prize czar. Caller 7-364-1100, 364-1100. Xavier Pope is on the way. Boy, I got so many questions, especially about the workplace. I don't know what's going on with the Aces, what the players can say, what they can't say. And the other one is, we are so tuned in now to be very careful around people when it comes to mental health. And now we've got someone in the world of politics in Royce White. Are we allowed to criticize him?
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
Boy, oh boy, I'm really looking forward to the spot. Nye's here, Nye Zaragoza, it's Cofield. So many stories. We were just adding some late stories, too. We actually do organize the show. We have somewhat of a rundown. But there's some really good stories out there for EP to chime in on. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Steve?
Say hi to Nye.
Hey, EP.
Hey, what's good?
What's good?
Okay. Before we get into debates and controversy, I learned something yesterday. I didn't know who Wally Amos was. I know Famous Amos Cookies, so I guess his last name would be Amos. This is kind of a cool story about a Southern California entrepreneur in Wally Amos who lived until he was 88, but that's like one of the biggest brands of cookies. I didn't know about him before he had passed, which, by the way, is always a shame that that's when you find out, but I thought this was a cool story.
Yeah, I mean, if you're black, you've known the story for a long time. I think that's, you know, the interesting part about history is that when black people do, like, really special things, like, we just kind of share it amongst ourselves and we celebrate it. It's a tremendous story of turning recipes into legacy. And I think that's the goal of us as we strive for a greater place in our society. So it's an inspirational story, cool story, and we celebrate the life of this man.
Well, let's stay on the food theme. I think I forgot to look it up. I know there was someone was stealing a bunch of ham about 5 years ago and stolen, like, I mean, it was like tons of ham they had stolen. They got a pretty serious sentence. Were you surprised an Illinois school worker got 9 years in prison for stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings? I mean, it was like thousands and thousands of cases of chicken wings.
You just said it was worth over $1 million, Steve. When it comes to the crime of theft, you're charged and sentenced based on the value of what you've taken. So just because you can't look at it as one chicken, you have to look at it as the value of what it costs to sell that chicken. And to profit off the chicken. So 9 years. And I guess the court put some soft on it, Steve.
Yeah. Well, we do know if you go out now to get wings, that wings are essentially a tad below caviar per pound. So it's worth it. That was a joke, actually, but no one laughed. Xavier Pope is with us. All right, well, let's move on to a couple of – we got a lot of great topics here. Now, I know you wanted to get into what happened with Jordan Chiles, and I actually don't even know where it stands at this point. I don't think she should give the medal back, but this it's pretty goofy, isn't it?
It is pretty goofy, unless you actually know the background of it. So we're going to ask Xavier Pope. That's who we have on with us right now. Xavier, I want to put it into perspective. You know, what if you went to the Olympics, you took home the bronze medal, you were at home, you're getting ready to unpack maybe a couple days later, and they call you and say, hey, return it. It doesn't belong to you. Do you believe that Jordan Chiles, in this entire situation, do you think the Olympics are messing up by stripping this medal away?
Yeah, I gave it to her. You know, she put it around her neck. She celebrated it. I'd want to keep it too. I feel like it's something that she worked hard for all of her life. I think it's important for us to remember that I think we take for granted how much American athletes love their country and accomplishing something great for their country. We see all the celebrations of all these other countries, but American athletes do the same. And I think that's something to remember and think about, this why Tua would not want to give up the medal they felt they earned, worked their whole life for.
Yeah, I want to go into another topic now. Let's just turn the page to the WNBA. I'm sure you've seen everything happening with Becky Hammon, the Las Vegas Aces, and Derica Hamby. This entire situation, I think it really hits strong with me because I am a woman who has the potential to maybe one day want to have a child, right? This situation is in a lot of fire right now. A lot of people are against the Becky Hammon dynamic and what is taking place. Can you kind of explain the situation to our audience and then give me your take with it?
I think that the best person to talk about this is you. I think that as we enter these conversations about the WNBA, the first thing I want to know is what you think about it. You are the black woman. I feel like you are in the space of covering the sport, and how, the context in which I should put it should be led by the conversation that you lead.
Ooh, I like that.
Turn it back on it.
Ooh, I like that.
So what do you think when it's a woman at a workplace and the allegation is against another woman and she got kind of booted out of the organization? What should happen here?
I think, for one, I don't know exactly what is going to happen or what should happen. What I do know is that there has to be better policies in place. There was so much that went on with this entire situation in her, right? And the way that she was treated, the way that when they won the championship, she wasn't invited to the White House. Or when, I guess, there was a phone call that had happened where Becky Hammon is questioning her in her off-season workouts. Mind you, at this time, I believe she was 7 months pregnant and she's still working out. She was doing Pilates. She was doing calisthenics. So my thing is, what policies are in place, right? This entire situation is very wrong. Per the WNBA 2020 collective bargain agreement, any team can trade any player for any legitimate reason or no reason at all. But that reason can never be on the basis of race, gender, sexual orientation, parental status, or pregnancy status. This is legit. It's a problem, right? It's a situation that's going on. I think it's tough, right? Because you don't want to prevent women from having families. But at the same time, how do you keep a player on the payroll that isn't being productive for you at that specific moment? So I am against with the way that she is treated, but now it comes to question, what are you guys going to do? What is the WNBA going to do, and what policies are going to be set for this specific? It's going to keep coming up. You know, we've heard of all the other athletes, women athletes who have had children, but is now becoming a bigger deal, and it's going to become even bigger because women want to raise families.
Yeah, what I think about that, and I thank you for adding that, and saying they want to raise families. And I think that when you talk about the policy, that means you have to go and lean towards who are the primary members of your sport. They're women. These are childbearing women, or choice to have childbearing women. And you should honor them. And as WNBA players gain more control, as the dollars, you see the two rookies, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, raise the profile of the league to get bigger contracts, you're going to see women athletes in WNBA have the opportunity to have more bargaining power in terms of different things they want that are gender and childbearing specific that you wouldn't necessarily see in the National Basketball Association.
Xavier Pope is up with us here, attorney out of Chicago, a cultural contributor here on Cofield and Company. This cyberbullying lawsuit brought by the Olympic gold medal winning boxer, who was called a man repeatedly throughout the women's tournament, is fascinating because I don't know that we have hardcore laws on a federal level. I think it's state by state on cyberbullying. What do you think of this with J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk? And the lesson that I was taught, that to make sure you stay out of defamation's way, a defamation suit, is you never say, like, I know for a fact that she's a man. I know for a fact that Albert Pujols is using steroids. Is that a kind of a safe coverall? And do you think these people actually violated her rights and bullied her? There was so much chatter. It became truth for a lot of people that this was a man fighting women.
Yeah, well, Steve, I think it's important to put this in a context for the audience that this is a European standard, which takes license of a lot that the United States would in terms of online activity. And so you have to look at it in the context of that. But then American laws are set up, supposedly, to honor what's over in Europe in terms of some of the different laws that kind of bend a little bit differently. And cyberbullying is, to some degree, a form of of defamation. It's just differently in their court system. It's not something that's actionable in terms of what we've seen. But there can be defamation in terms of if you know for a fact what her gender is and you are intentionally attempting to harm her, you're not necessarily reporting. There are actionable ways that you can take that in a U.S. court, but leading in a court that might be more deferential to that type of a version of the law, like Elon Musk and more, that's going to lend itself more to maybe some payout or some sort of settlement or something that even comes over to the U.S. court as well.
We're doing a lot of kind of workplace, defamation, treatment of people topics today because a bunch have come up here. Xavier Pope is up with Nye and Cofield. Boy,
we want to pick your brain, Xavier, okay? Because from scrolling on your Twitter, you are a man of many trades there.
Well, we need him on this one because, you know, over the years, I try not to call people crazy. I try to be understanding if someone's got mental health issues, especially when you're alerted to the fact. We've had Royce White on the show, the former NBA player, Iowa State player. I find him, at the time, to be a fascinating dude. But he's been pretty open about his mental health issues. Now he's running for office. He's saying some things that is really ruffling some feathers. So is this a hands-off situation? How do we treat Royce White, who, you know, just won the primary in Minnesota?
Great question, Steve. And I've definitely talked about this on my timeline. And people, I mean, he said that women, have gotten too mouthy. That's an openly sexist thing to say. And with it, him being in a party that's supporting him, that are actively going against and attacking women's right to choose, how to deal with their own bodies, identify with their own bodies. I mean that's just a type of way to think about the world that's trash. It's near anapholic. And I called it such. And then some of my different followers, they're passionate about the things that I say to you. But I'm of a man, you have to still acknowledge what's real and be empathetic and be the bigger person in these issues. And so when I can criticize current politics of Royce White, but then I can still honor when he came into the National Basketball Association and was drafted, Houston Rockets, being able to get a chance to really play because of his mental health issues, I can have empathy for that. I think it's called nuance. You need to use it, put the full context of who he is as a person. So it's okay that maybe he's come on before Steve. And he was fascinating at the times of different things he said, but it manifested as something that's different than that, and that's worthy of criticism while having empathy for the person who's gone through some mental health struggles.
At Xavier Pope, up on Twitter. So, you know, as I get older, one of the things you discover that's pretty amazing is a lot of wealthy people love to get stuff for free. You're like, wait, you have money. But they get accustomed to being treated that way. I've never heard of a story like this. Headline, Brewers owner Mark Adonazio accused of stealing sand from Malibu's Broad Beach. And I was like, wait, did he like take a cup of sand or like, you know, wants to build a little, display at home? No, he's got some project where he's got excavators like digging up sand from this beach. And this sounds like a pretty serious charge. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
I've heard of the phrase "don't bring sand to the beach" when it comes to going to a party and bringing maybe a mate. But I've never heard of taking actual sand from the beach. That's a new thing to me, Steve. I didn't know that was something that would really get you in so much trouble. I know you go into certain different places where there might be secret island rules where you don't take anything from the island. I've seen that. This is an extreme version of that, so to speak, Steve.
The claims are Adonazio has been using excavators, if I can say the word, on a public natural resource, restricting public access to the beach while exposing local marine life to potentially hazardous byproducts of heavy machinery. The lawsuit accuses Adonazio of public and private nuisance as well as violation of the California Coastal Act. Like, don't F with our beaches, man!
Yeah, that's a lot, Steve. You're endangering wildlife is not something that is a nice person thing to do. To openly do it, to just go on the beach and just do whatever the hell you want when everyone in the community is impacted by it environmentally. It's just people just think they can just do whatever the hell they want to do. I guess he's effing around and finding out right about now.
He is. And I want to, by the way, I want to keep everyone updated on this. He is one of the guys in many of these cities who needed to cry poor when it came to improving Brewer Stadium. A 21-year-old stadium was like, hey, we need $500 million to update it. upgrade it. And the state of Wisconsin was like, oh, okay, here you go. Here's 500 mil. Come on. See what I mean? They want everything for free. Some of the wealthy. Mark Davis is not. EP is with us. Xavier Pope. I want to get your take on what's going on with the Jets right now. Because we were just talking about, you know, workplace difficulties with the aces. And I understand why Asia Wilson and Kelsey Plum and others aren't going to come out and be like, you know, we have him, he's back. And we're like, well, what about, so Becky Hammon's a violator, so you want to go against Becky? And it's a lawsuit thing, too. It's interesting that the Jets have a holdout right now that they traded for from the Eagles and Hassan Reddick. And Aaron Rodgers has come out and basically said, hey, you know what? We need to get this done. It's best for him to be a Jet. I feel like this is a very unique situation where you attain so much power and you're such kind of the boss of an organization that Aaron Rodgers can say whatever he wants, and the coach and the GM and really the owner can't do a damn thing about it.
What has Aaron Rodgers done for the New York Jets? Nothing. It's like this guy has way too much power to have done absolutely nothing for the franchise. But he, I mean, they're going to bend their will to him. I mean, that's what it is, Steve. It's fascinating, but ultimately, we'll see what happens when Aaron Rodgers actually has to throw a football in a consistent basis for that franchise, how much power he ultimately has. And I think he's going to ultimately crash and burn, but that's where I'm at with it.
Well, I don't know why you would wish that upon me as a Jets fan. I mean, I'm not rooting against you and Caleb Williams and the Bears, man. Take it easy.
Come on. Some guys, hey, Father Time is undefeated. You know, there are plenty of guys who did that. Different quarterbacks that were amazing. They went to a different team. Joe Namath went and played for the Rams. You know, like this.
We already went through this. I say we as a Jets fan, we had the previous Packers quarterback in Brett Favre, which was okay for a while until he started sending pictures and getting on the massage table.
Oh yeah, you got that. Now, how long did that last? A couple of seasons. I mean, you know, yeah. When guys are at the end of their career, they're at the end of their career. There's nothing you can do about it.
Old man winter doesn't last very long. Joe Montana had a decent time with the Chiefs and turned them into winners. So, all right, dude, we are up against it. I appreciate the time today. We'll talk to you next week. Xavier Pope, we'll see you, buddy.
Love you.
Bye.
There he is. I forgot to ask about his mouth. He had really bad teeth problems. Last two times he came on, gutted it out, hit an abscess 2 weeks ago, and he canceled the spot. We never saw his note that he canceled the spot. And then Griffin's like, I don't care. Griffin's like, do the spot. Isn't that what you told him, Griffin, on the phone? You're like, I don't want to hear about your puffed up face. Get on the air right now.
The show must go on. No excuses. I'm sorry. EP knows that too. He's a trooper. He knows.
By the way, Griffin would never do that. But I actually, because of his size and because he played football, I'm kind of making him into. I'm telling stories about him being a gatekeeper and a henchman on the show.
He sounds like a bully, is what it sounds like.
We need it. I don't want to be the bully all the time.
I will fill the role that needs to be filled.
Look at this. Look at the tough guy. All right, coming back, I'm going to tell you about details with Circa Million and Circa Survivor as Cofield and Company is going to be part of Circa Million. You got to get in. The deadline is coming up in early September on September 7th. $16 million is up for grabs. It's fully guaranteed. There is no rake, but you got to hit Legends Bay in Reno or any of the Circa properties here, Circa-related properties here in Las Vegas to get in Circa Survivor and Circa Million.